From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Thursday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio this morning. Jeffrey Wright, as he does every Thursday, will be joining us. He's having a couple scheduling conflicts with his actual job. We'll forgive him for that. So we're going to go to him in a minute whenever he gives me the green light, and we'll just call him from the air here and get some time in with Mr. Wright here on the line. Soon, the podcast brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Free gas Friday, back tomorrow. The students are back in town. They held a little Twitter situation to try to get free gas Friday. Critical, Ben and those guys said okay. They gave in. So free gas Friday. Follow the Oxford Exxon on Twitter. Say something funny. Say something clever. Compliment Neil's appearance. Whatever you'd like to do to potentially win some free gas. There'll be three winners tomorrow, courtesy of the Oxford Exxon. And you probably need a car for that fuel, and Clark Ford would be a good place for that.
It would. Clark Ford's in Amory, 662-257-1900. Call that number. Ask for our friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey, hey, here's the new Ford that I'm thinking about. It's the one that I want. Can you get me a quote? He'll say, yep. In fact, I'll get it to you in 15 minutes, and he'll get you a quote. And then it's up to you. You can take that quote and shop it. That's certainly your prerogative. Or you can go ahead and take our word for it, and not just our word, but the word of so many of your fellow podcast listeners who have let Corey and the people at Clark Ford take the hassle out of the car buying experience. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling. You just get a great deal. You get a great new Ford vehicle, a great service after the sale. You know that's going to happen. So it's a great place to make your car buying purchase and make it quickly and pleasantly and all those things. 662-257-1900 will make it even better. Tell Corey at the end of the deal, say, hey, heard about Clark Ford on the podcast. You can mention any of our podcasts. We taped a soft verbal presented by Billy's Pecans yesterday. That's going to drop later this morning.
Yep. We're
working on a beer garden as well. So we'll get all that to you. Mention any of those podcasts, $500 off the bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory.
So what's going on around here right now? Let's see. Ole Miss baseball begins practice tomorrow, full team for a couple weeks. They've been doing the four-on-ones, the individual stuff, full team stuff starting tomorrow. I'll have more coverage later today on that. Ole Miss travels to Texas for an ESPN2 game, Neil. Is that correct?
I think that's right.
On Saturday in Austin. 1 o'clock for that as well. So it's kind of your scheduling deal. What's going on with Ole Miss Athletics? Neil and I this morning discussing the Hall of Fame announcement yesterday. Chipper Jones, Jim Tomey, Trevor Hoffman.
And Vladimir Guerrero.
Vladimir Guerrero, that's
we
the
did,
other
we
one.
We did 20 minutes of pre-podcast that would have been really good podcast.
It was. You told me that you feel a little old with this one yesterday.
Yeah, it's weird because you Chipper Jones, I'm 48. Chipper Jones is 45. Trevor Hoffman's 50. I'm not sure how old Jim Tomey is or how old Vladimir Guerrero is. Let's see, how old is Jim Tomey? These are kind of my – Jim Tomey's 47. These are guys my age.
Sure, contemporaries.
These are my contemporaries, and they're going in the Hall of Fame? Like Chipper Jones is in the Hall of Fame? To me, Chipper Jones is still like 30. I love the New York Daily News. Did you see there?
That was great.
It was great. It was fantastic. I don't know. It was cool to see those guys because Carson was like, did you ever watch him play, Dad? I'm like, you have no idea. Was he good, Dad? Yeah, but you don't get in the Hall of Fame unless you're good. And so we start having, you and I had this debate about, not even a debate really, because I think we're on the same page. Who do you think, if you'd had a ballot?
Yeah.
And we're not baseball writers. Don't have a ballot. I'm glad I don't have one. Like, I followed Trent Rosencrans, who has a ballot, and the amount of time and study and stuff that he put into his ballot, I'm glad I didn't have to do that. And then people rip it apart. You're a dumbass. Okay, well, I gave this a lot of study. Who would I have voted for? Would I have voted for Edgar Martinez, who was unquestionably a great hitter?
Hall of hitter, first team.
Oh, my God, yes. But he didn't play defense. And someone goes, well, pitchers. I'm like, okay. Closers. Took Hoffman 3 years. Hoffman was the best closer not named Mariano Rivera in baseball for 20 years. And Mariano Rivera is the best closer ever.
Yeah.
Pull the stats up. He just was. I don't think I would have voted for him. And then where it gets interesting is, this is where I think you and I had the pre-podcast conversation that maybe we can replicate here. We were talking about the Braves. Chipper Jones, obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, holy hell, God, he was phenomenal. He was a great player. Great, 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 great player who you really kind of wonder how great would he have been had he not blown his knee out.
Yeah.
But regardless, he was a great player. Congratulations to Chipper getting into the Hall of Fame. Certainly he deserved it.
Yeah, it wasn't really a doubt yesterday.
No. A lot of Braves fans upset that Andruw Jones didn't get in. And Andruw Jones was a great player for a decade.
Andruw at least got to stay on the ballot. He ended up with 7 or 9% or yeah. something. You got to have 5 to stay on. He's at least on the ballot still.
And people will debate him for a while.
Yeah.
And Andruw Jones came up at 19. The first two pitches that he ever saw in the World Series, he hit home runs. It was the best defensive center fielder for a decade. But his body fell apart. And at 30, he was kind of a shell. I don't know that Andruw Jones passes the Hall of Fame test.
That's what I told you. As a Braves fan, I'm most upset by Fred McGriff.
And you should be.
When you look at non-steroid hitters, his numbers are as comparable as anybody. And in an era that is not steroid-induced, his numbers are better than pretty much anybody else. He had so many – I forget what the number is – so many straight seasons of at least 30 home runs when that really meant something.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of big numbers when you compare him to Hall of Famers that were not in the middle of this juice era.
McGriff is the guy that, for me – McGriff is the guy that I look at and I say, well, that's why I can't vote for Sammy Sosa. That's why I can't vote for Barry Bonds. It's why I can't vote for Roger Clemens. He's my problem there. My gut tells me Barry Bonds was a phenomenal player. Steroids or no steroids. But he cheated. Well, so I look at McGriff and I say, well, what would have happened if Fred McGriff had juiced 600 home runs? So it cost him the Hall of Fame? Being a good guy cost him the Hall of Fame? Being an honest guy cost him the Hall of Fame? And then you start getting into the conversation that we had. I said, this is why if I'm a – and I heard – who was it yesterday? I was listening to MLB Network Radio. And I don't know who it was. A couple of former players. Harold Reynolds might have been one of them. I can't remember. And they were talking about this. If you're a player from that era, you ask yourself, if you didn't cheat, well, what would have happened if I had? Would I have gotten a big contract? What would have happened? But I didn't because, A, I was scared of what it would do to my body and my long-term health, and, B, it was wrong. What if Mark Grace, I don't have his numbers in front of me. I'm going to pull them up. Obviously, I watched a lot of Cubs games. I watched Mark Grace's career. Pull up Mark Grace baseball reference.
Hit a ton of doubles.
I think he had more hits in the 90s or the 2000s than – I think it was the 90s.
Maybe the 90s.
More hits in the 90s than any major league player. Think about that number for a minute. So Mark Grace, for his career, came up in 88, finished his career in 2003. And no, I'm not arguing that Mark Grace is a Hall of Famer. He's not. But in his career, Mark Grace had 2,445 hits in 16 years.
Yep.
If he juiced, how many of his 511 doubles would have gone out of the ballpark? He had 173 home runs. How many of his 511 doubles get out of the ballpark? How many of his 45 triples that presumably he pulled down the right field line get out of the ballpark? How many flyouts that he hit?
Well, I mean, Mark Grace, with his hand-eye coordination,
was going to make contact.
And the juicing, he hits 350 home runs.
It's 350 home runs. He's a career .303 hitter. So he becomes a career .315 hitter?
Yeah. Now there's a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, he was, instead of making the All-Star game 1, 2, 3 times, he probably makes it 5 times. Never finished higher than 13th in the MVP.
Really? That surprises me. He didn't have a season or two where he was much higher than that.
Won 4 gold gloves. Mm-hmm. Second for rookie of the year in 88.
Who won?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll have to pull that up. I don't
know. Just curious.
Todd Hollinsworth, maybe?
I thought that would have been way after that. Hollinsworth would have been after
Chris
that,
Sabo.
Yeah. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Hollinsworth would have been more 95, 96, somewhere in there.
That's probably right.
You know, the Dodgers had like 3 or 4 in a row there at one point. I think Nomo beat Chipper maybe in the rookie of the year.
It was Chris Sabo, then Mark Grace, Tim Belcher, Ron Gant, Roberto Alomar, Damon Berry Hill, Greg Jeffries, and Ricky Jordan. There's some names from the past.
But what year Todd Hollinsworth won? Or did he not?
Let's see. I don't know. I'll have to pull it up.
Give me NL Rookies of the Year in the 90s. It's going to make me feel better to be somewhat accurate here.
But a guy like Grace has an argument all of a sudden. But he didn't cheat. And so we reward the guys who did? I have a problem with that.
And then speaking of that same topic, it's why you're very passionate about Mike Mussina, because he had to pitch against all those guys that were doing these things.
Yes. Mike Mussina was great. Mike Mussina dominated for more than a decade in an era when half the people he was pitching to were on steroids. He was an ace. How is he not a Hall of Famer? Everything about him says Hall of Fame. And I'm not a big Hall of Fame guy. Like, All-Star games, I have a hard time getting, like, worked up over All-Star selections and stuff. It's like, whatever. Especially when I was at the Cubs convention last week, and a lot of the Cubs said the turning point last year was they were exhausted, and they got the 4-day All-Star break, and the only person that made the team was Wade Davis, and everybody else went home and rested, and they came home recharged. They came back recharged and played great in the second half. I came away from that going, I hope none of y'all make the All-Star team. NL Rookies of the Year, starting in 1990.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let's see. I'm making sure I was on the right column.
All right.
1990, David Justice.
Okay.
He was good. 1991, Jeff Bagwell.
It worked out.
Had a pretty good career. 1992, it was Eric Karros.
Okay.
1990,
that's a Dodger.
1993, it was Mike Piazza. He had a nice career.
Dodger.
1994, Raul Mondesi.
Dodger?
Yep.
Yeah.
1995, Hideo Nomo.
Dodger.
1996 was Todd Hollinsworth.
Okay.
1997 was Scott Rolen with the Phillies. 1998 was Kerry Wood with the Cubs. 1999 was Scott Williamson with Cincinnati. 2000 was Rafael Furcal with the Braves. Then a guy named Pujols won it.
So we did. The Dodgers had 5 straight rookies of the year.
So 5 or 6. Let's see. Hollinsworth, Nomo, Mondesi, Piazza, Karros. 5 in a row.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's really kind of incredible.
If you're running the Dodgers farm system back then, you're like, I'm good.
Yeah. Pay me.
Pay me.
That's funny.
It's a pretty good list here. I mean, I'll take it from 2001 to current. Yeah, I'll say the names because it's interesting. Albert Pujols, Jason Jennings, Dontrell Willis, Jason Bay, who had a hell of a career.
Yeah.
Ryan Howard was a stud. Hanley Ramirez, great player. Ryan Braun, great player. Giovanni Soto, not had a great career, but a good player. Chris Coughlin, good player. Buster Posey's kind of worked out. Craig Kimbrell, pretty good player. Bryce Harper, kind of good. Jose Fernandez, which is just tragic. Jacob DeGrom, great player. Chris Bryant's kind of good. Corey Seager has some talent. And then Cody Bellinger.
Not a lot of one-hit wonders there.
No.
Wow.
Pretty much the same thing on the American League side, too. I mean, I was, out of curiosity, because I'm interested now, from 99 to now, it was Carlos Beltran, pretty good player, Kazuhiro Sasaki, Ichiro, Eric Hinsky, Angel Baroa, Bobby Crosby, Houston Street, Justin Verlander, Dustin Pedroia, Evan Longoria, Andrew Bailey, Neftali Perez, Jeremy Hellickson, Mike Trout, kind of good, Will Myers, Jose Abreu, Carlos Correa, Michael Fulmer, who I love, and Aaron Judge.
All right, calling Jeffrey now on the Rebel Locker Room hotline. Again, just going to dial him up while we were sitting here talking. Come straight in. Hopefully he doesn't string any profanities together or anything.
Kind of Jeopardy music.
It's not the talk show, at least. They're recorded live. You there?
Hey, sorry.
No, you're fine. You're live on the show.
You're live on the podcast. Welcome in.
Hold on 1 second. Hold on.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
He hung up on me.
He says, I didn't want to be live.
Yeah, this is a... It's good pod.
It's good pod. People will probably enjoy this pod more than they enjoy the polished pod.
I guess he's going to call me back. I don't know what he's doing. So he might ring in the other way here in a second.
Yeah.
He's incredibly busy. He does have a full-time job that does not require him to join our show every Thursday morning. So
he probably misses the laid-back nature of...
He's on a little more of a clock now than...
Because we're not really on much of a clock.
No.
There's a picture on Twitter, and it's a couple in bed, and he's got his back turned to her,
mm-hmm.
and it's got the thought bubbles.
Yeah.
And she's her thought bubble. He's probably thinking about other girls. And on his, it's, why hasn't Yu Darvish signed with the Cubs yet? That's about right.
Jeffrey?
All right, there we are. Sorry.
All right, no problem. Did you stay up last night? I know you were excited. I mean, Caroline Wozniacki into the Australian Open finals. I'm sure you were. you had your signs in your living room, probably having a beer in her honor.
No, see, I'm actually really okay with her winning this time because this will be the ultimate asterisk, like Grand Slam. Like it would. This is the only one I want her to win because Serena's not there. Like she's like it's the ult. It's like. It's like when Padraig Harrington won the two majors without Tiger. It's like everyone gives him credit for his one British Open, and then the other two like kind of count for maybe a half of a major.
She, the number two seed, ranked whatever in the world. She does great in these offshoot foreign tournaments in the fall and the winter.
Yeah, and she's like the cash cow, like the money season, like the stuff where like all the great players don't care, like the stuff that Serena's not in.
Yeah, the tennis version of hit and giggles.
You kind of got to respect that, right, though?
No, I have no problem with that. Here's what's funny. You know, as much time, and I'm only doing this because we've spent so much Rory, Caroline time on the podcast over the years for our loyal listeners. Breaking up with Rory breaking with her, it is the only thing that has rejuvenated her career to any extent because I swear, had they gotten married, she would not even be playing tennis anymore, and she would be a European version of Amy Mickelson at this point because when she hit that lull, had she been with Rory, she would have just given it up. It would have been over by now.
Oh, no, it was very obvious. She was much more into being Mrs. Rory McIlroy than he was into being Caroline Wozniacki's husband.
He wasn't going to travel the world sitting in her box.
No, and I think, like, I actually think that was a big aspect of it. Like, Rory even mentioned, like, before they broke up, Rory even mentioned like how tired and stressful it was on him. Like he'd play a tournament and he's got to go fly around the world like to go be there because he felt like that was his responsibilities. Like the best part about dating someone that's not famous is you don't like that doesn't that's not an element of your life. Like they're always following you around, and so he wouldn't have to hop a plane, you know, after playing, you know, the US Open to go watch, you know, the French Open or whatever, go to the Masters series event,
whatever the female version of that is.
Or whatever the grass court season, like, tune-up is. Like, he didn't have to go and worry about that. So I think that was a big aspect for him. I think the other big aspect for him is she's athlete hot, but she's not, like, normal hot.
That's fair.
I mean, she's just, you know, she's obviously more attractive probably than the person that's going to say I do to me, but she's not Erica Stoll hot.
What time you got to cut off so I know where to go next?
I can probably go about 10 minutes here.
All right, good. We'll split it up. 10. Flip 5 to 4. Go 5 and 5. Pat Shurmur, thoughts? We got a lot of Giants fans on the podcast. Where how you feeling about this thing?
The most upsetting part to me is Matt Patricia decided that he would rather have the Lions job than the Giants job, and that's kind of depressing to realize. I'm fine with Shurmur. Like I said, you kind of have to grade him on the Cleveland Browns curve. Like, his 9 wins at Cleveland look pretty good if you compare him to the status quo. Like, he's pretty solid. He's slightly above average for the Browns. You have to look at the fact that he had a really productive offense and he lost his starting running back. Basically, Cooks, I think, got hurt like the first 5 weeks of the year.
Yeah.
So he loses his best running back. And he did it all with Case Keenum. And I feel like I was vindicated last week. Case Keenum really did show his true colors. And you kind of have to like that about Shurmur, the fact that he was able to basically have a top five offense with being so limited at the quarterback position. I think you have to think it's a win. Probably, you know, you can make the argument that it's better to have an offensive guy, because if you do end up going with a defensive coach and you even hire a good offensive coordinator, he's probably leaving you quickly. So it adds a little more stability on the offensive end if you can get the offensive guy first. So I've kind of talked myself into it. But it all depends on what do they do at number two, because if they draft Sam Darnold, I'm just done.
What's the realistic rebuild for them? When can they be playoff competitive again?
Well, the good news is Gettleman basically, I love this. Like, he came in and he looked at the roster. Like, he met with Eli. I guess he watched tape, and he came in and basically said, this was all the offensive line's fault. So the narrative that the franchise had been spinning for the last 2.5 years is that the offensive line wasn't as bad, and they honestly were throwing Eli under the bus. He came in and said, that's, you know, for lack of a better word, earmuffs, kids, that's bullshit. Like, that's not what it is. It's the offensive line's been horrible. And he basically said, Eric Flowers, you're on the chopping block. And so, like, that's a good start. The problem is you're trying to rebuild an entire offensive line in about a year and a half, 2 year window. So I just don't know how realistic it is. I mean, I think it's probably, we've seen in the NFL, teams have been able to kind of tear it down, build it up in about, you know, I mean, look at the Rams. They did it largely in a year, but the problem is your quarterback's not getting any younger, and so you're essentially having to do the whole rebuild and build with a new quarterback. So I would think it's kind of a, you know, 3 year thing is probably the earliest you can expect. Like, you look at the Rams, I mean, they more or less rebuilt their entire team once they got Goff. It took them 2 years to become a good, solid team. I think you're looking at, you know, a 3 year window probably after that.
Rams also had really built it defensive line. They've got the best defensive player in football. They have potentially the best running back in football. And they found guys that at least fit their system okay from an offensive wide receiver standpoint.
They did. They also have holes. I mean,
yeah, like, they're not perfect by any means.
Yeah, you saw that. But what the Rams showed is that you have to have great players at the positions that matter. Like, for instance, even like on a negative, the Rams did not have a left tackle. Okay, so they go out and get Whitworth, and all of a sudden they're good to go at tackle. And what they showed is that you don't have to be great at linebacker if you're really great on the defensive line. But they always had good, they had really pretty strong secondary guys. And then on the offensive end, they had a stud running back. And they made sure that they had a couple of playmakers at wide receiver this year, and then they got the quarterback. Like, it proves that you can have holes and deficiencies at certain positions if you're elite at the ones that are more difference making. And for me, difference making positions are always going to be, you know, an elite pass rusher. If you can have a defensive tackle that can kind of control the line of scrimmage, that's always a big one. And then on offense, you got to have left tackle. You got to have basically some type of game breaker, whether it be a stud running back like Gurley, or it be an elite level wide receiver, kind of like the Giants have in Beckham. Like, you have to have someone that the defense can't cover or can't stop unless things really go to hell in a handbasket. And so, like, that's what you're looking with the Giants. And so, but the Giants have to, I think you're not going to draft this high probably for a while. Again, you got to take the quarterback now.
What's interesting about the quarterbacks was watching that video, and it's not fair to either guy necessarily, but the video from Mobile yesterday, the kid from Wyoming, Allen,
Josh Allen,
and Josh Allen, and then Baker Mayfield.
It's one throw.
It is,
but it's Chase. It's not like he's a 55% passer. Like, it's not one throw.
In
like,
a league where accuracy is everything.
I can pull up a spray chart for you and send it to you, Chase. Like, don't do that. Baker Mayfield is the most accurate passer we've seen in a decade. And Josh Allen is a dude. And it just really does show, like, how, like, I'm sorry. Like, I'm sick of people, like, in media getting criticism for pointing out that football people in general are not exactly pondering the theory of relativity in their spare time, but they're dumb. Like, they are. Most of them are dumb.
It's very true.
The ones that are not dumb are win consistently. Yep. There's a reason why Bill Belichick every single year is where he is, and it's not just Tom Brady.
All right, like, let me ask it this way then. Let's
the whole Josh Allen thing. Like, he plays for the same offensive coordinator that Carson Wentz played for. Big, tall kid. Carson Wentz. Like, that's how dumb they are. Like, that's why he is going up the draft boards.
All right. I got one more thing after this, but I do have to ask this first. In saying that, let's take an average NFL quarterback. Take your pick. Whoever the average passer is, I don't care. Ryan Tannehill. Fair enough?
I was going to say Blake Bortles, but Tannehill's fine.
Okay, fine. 100 throws. Does he ever miss that net? Not the hole, no. The net.
No.
No.
Chase, they were 10 yards away.
Come on. You've gone to Ole Miss football practice at the beginning.
Come on. You give me 50 throws, and I'm not missing the net.
Well, I'd probably miss the net. But here's my – hold on. Here's my argument.
I would do that challenge. Give me the – I'll go to MUS and get that net. Give me 50 balls. From that distance, I'm not missing the net.
If from that distance, I might not even miss the net.
Hold up, Chase. It wasn't just that he missed the net. The target was the opposite bottom square.
Yeah.
Like, he legitimately missed that throw by 15 feet.
10 seconds after Mayfield put it right into the spot.
Yeah.
Yes.
But what I was going to say is we watched Chad Kelly do the warm-up drills before they kicked us out of practice. He always hit the spot.
Well, the only people, I mean, really, truly, we watched this 1,000 times. Jeffrey and I have stood next to each other for hours over the course of years.
Yes.
The only people that missed the net are the third-string quarterback for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kids that can't throw.
Yeah. That, you know, are at this level with walk-ons. That's it. Not at the Senior Bowl. So, I don't know.
The people that
Butch Davis' kid that was out there because he wants to learn how to coach.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but, like, that's my deal. Like, someone is going to draft. There's not a – I guarantee you, I don't know this for a fact, but I will go and look it up. There is not a guy that is in the top 10 of the NFL quarterbacks that completed less than 60% of his passes in a two-year stretch in college football. You don't get better when the talent gets better.
All right, last thing, because I'm kind of excited. I'm hoping he at least hangs around, makes the cut, is competitive. There's lots of Tiger fans and aren't golf fans. What's realistic for us this week, Torrey?
The Vegas odds are that he won't make the cut. So if he makes the cut, that's a win.
Okay, making the cut is a positive.
I mean, that's where we are.
Like, same thing at Riviera, easier course.
Riviera is actually, I would think, a better fit for him.
That's
now.
What I'm saying.
But it's easier for the other guys, too.
But what I'm saying is when he gets on these long bomber golf courses again, he's going to be tempted to let it go. You know what I mean? Try and keep up with the Joneses, and the weather's not. You know, it's always this time of year. It's always kind of cold. It's kind of windy, and maybe those glutes aren't firing because they're not heated up. Maybe the back isn't heated up.
Yeah, staying loose is going to be a problem out there.
Yeah, I mean, the Vegas odds are with him to not make the cut. So if he exceeds that, then I would say that is a step in the right direction. Riviera is not as long of a track, so it's tighter.
Yeah,
which is not good for Tiger, because even yesterday he still was hitting. I think I saw where he hit 5 fairways, and the fairways are much wider at Torrey Pines than they are.
He played north or south yesterday?
Played the south, I believe.
Okay, well,
from what it looked like, he was on the south.
Okay. Well, just curious. Yeah, I mean, the PGA Tour did him a favor. They're putting him out with Reed and Hoffman, so nobody he's trying to hit it out 340 with.
This week. I don't know. Have you seen Patrick Reed? He's in Nikes, bulking up a little bit. You know, Patrick in the swoosh. I cannot.
He's
wait
trying to make you love him, Jeffrey.
I can't wait to see Fatrick when they put that blade collar on him. He's going to look too good. Like one of those form fitters.
He really needs to make sure he's not paired with Rory at any point where they both have to wear the blade collars next to one another.
Toss up. Last question. Better rack, Fatrick or Phil?
Oh, God. It's
Jack
Phil.
Show. Make sure you listen.
It's too, all right. Bye. That abbreviated version of Jeffrey Wright on the podcast brought to you in part by Tyson Drugs, TysonDrugs.com, 662-252-2321 there in Holly Springs. Great service. In addition to the Sildenafil we tell you about all the time, they've got another thing that will help women with the same sort of thing, as well as many other hometown helps there in Holly Springs. Again, in Oxford also, they are now the owners of G&M on South Lamar, so give them a call. They deliver locally. And you just have to go online. You tell the pharmacy what's going on. They'll call your doctor. They'll help you make things easy for you. So, again, G&M in Oxford and Tyson Drugs there in Holly Springs, 662-252-2321.
We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, that is the place to go. They've got everything you want. All the new ones, previously owned, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Brought to you by Harry Alexander. It's HarryAlexander.com if you are in the market for a residence or a condo in Oxford. That's the place to go. Yeah, no one knows the residential and condo market in Oxford better than he does. HarryAlexander.com. Send him an email, ha@HarryAlexander.com. Rebel Nation 2018 is the year of the fan. Ole Miss Athletics wants to showcase your stories and recognize you, the Ole Miss fan base. Exciting prizes and experiences throughout the year will be featured on omyearofthefan.com. and updated often, so be sure to visit omyearofthefan.com. Ole Miss and Auburn Tuesday night at the Pavilion. The game's at 8. Tickets available, olemisstix.com. That's olemisstix.com. Podcast also brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is offering one-year CDs, 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
Podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga, one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market. Also, a leader in condo financing in Oxford. So that's about the floating down option and more there with Jason, 662-234-2704. JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
And we're brought to you by State Farm. Everyone knows State Farm for being the number one insurer in auto, home, and life insurance. But did you know State Farm has a bank which allows them to do auto financing? They recently had a rate reduction in their commercial insurance rates. They have great business insurance policies for rental properties. It's a tremendous, tremendous way to go for insurance. Give Romero Miller State Farm a chance to compare all of your policies. You won't be sorry. Go to Google, read Romero Miller State Farm reviews, then give him a call, 662-893-1212. And the podcast is brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. To hear more about it, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. He's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. That's a $500 savings, so call him today. And last but not least, we're brought to you by Gambrell & Associates. Gambrell & Associates have three attorneys, more than 60 years of combined experience, and more than 45 years handling only bankruptcy and Social Security disability claims. Check out their site, msbnkr.com, or you can search for Robert Gambrell on superlawyers.com or avvo.com. They handle Social Security disability claims statewide and in Memphis. You can call the office in Hernando, 662-342-7700, or in Oxford at 662-281-8800.
And MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, you can find them at 662-607-7773 or mastercutslawn.com. Temperatures will be rising. That yard's going to need to be cut when you sign an annual contract. First cut's free when you mention this here podcast. They also can build that outdoor living area. That'd be great in the spring and the summer. fire pits for the fall, and more there with Master Cuts, even if you need some debris and different things cleaned up around your landscaping. So I've used them for a long time. You should too. Again, 662-607-7773. Apologize for a little longer break there. We on a strange schedule because of some different things today. So you get us 275 times a year. You'll get over it after one day. We love you. Appreciate it.
And there's a long recruiting podcast coming your way with 40 minutes and 23 seconds of nothing but recruiting.
Except for that 14 minutes of NBA at the beginning, but otherwise it's
pure recruiting.
Yes.
We do discuss Tyreke Evans. We don't. We discuss what Cleveland should do after their big meeting. We don't. It's all recruiting.
Okay. Tomorrow, I'll tease this a little bit because I haven't watched it yet. I want to talk about Hugh Freeze's Liberty thing tomorrow, but I have not got around to it. I will, but I do want to do that tomorrow.
Okay. I watched it.
Did you?
I did.
Well, let me catch up. We'll do it tomorrow. I have not been able to sit down and do that yet. We will.
I'll look forward to that.
Do you? Really?
I'm not going to have hot takes because I...
No, I don't want hot takes. I just haven't seen it. Yeah. I want to talk about it when I get done. I haven't done so yet.
I have a policy in my life that I never judge another man's marriage.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that.
Yeah, I know. And I know you won't either. That's not what I'm saying. There are people that are just killing them on the internet, and I understand that. But at the same time,
a lot easier to do that when you're anonymous and you don't know the guy.
Yeah. Glass houses, too.
Yeah. Much easier to have a quick-witted tongue and finger when you don't know the guy.
When you don't know the guy as a person.
Yeah. You're naturally more empathetic for people you know in your real life.
He is a real human being.
Yeah. Not a football robot.
No, not at all. He's a person. And she's a person, and they have kids who are people, real people with feelings.
Glad speaking of quarterbacks with Jeffrey a minute ago, I'm really glad Mickey Loomis clarified they would like Drew Brees back this coming season.
Probably a smart move.
He said that they would get around to it at some point. I would like them to get around to it now, personally, but okay, fine, whatever.
I suspect both parties know they're sticking around.
He just seemed a little nonchalant about it, and I'd rather not be nonchalant about the quarterback.
You don't want to alienate him at all where he goes, you know what, screw it, I'm going to the Jaguars.
Ooh.
They'd be in the Super Bowl with Drew Brees.
Well, they would be that, yes. Saints pick up a conditional pick, a sixth-round pick for the Adrian Peterson trade last season. So they do get something out of that at least.
Whatever. Yeah.
It is what it is. But
well, they missed him when he was gone, didn't they?
Well, I mean, had you kept him around any longer, Kamara would have been less utilized. I still don't understand the Butch Jones thing. I know we talked about it every week, but what are you doing? You had to see that, right?
Yeah. But every NFL team passed on him.
No, I know. It's why, look, as much as we like using him as a punching bag, I'm not making fun of Houston Nutt for Blake Bortles. Nobody else offered Blake Bortles either. You can't pick out Houston Nutt as the one guy who didn't pick Blake Bortles. No. He went to UCF. He didn't go to Florida. He didn't go to Florida State. He didn't go to Miami. He didn't go to Georgia.
I did promise something yesterday. I'm going to deliver it in 30 seconds here real quick. The NCAA's decision yesterday, while it was good, the fact that it took public perception to make you come out and investigate Michigan State or whatnot is disgraceful. And by the way, Michigan State, the fact that it took all of this, it took it till Wednesday of this week for your president to resign is disgraceful. Everybody over there should freaking resign. They should shut your damn athletic program down.
Everyone was full of piss and vinegar, wasn't she last night?
Oh, my God. You're telling me she didn't have any clue of this going on?
I did see Wetzel say she probably was innocent through 16, but then since then she's been just one bad misstep after another.
And so that's the deal. So if you find out in 16,
yeah.
Oh, my God, this is happening? Oh, wait, what has happened? Okay, I didn't know. Okay, well, now you do. You act immediately. You come out, you fire him. You say, we're launching an investigation. I hate that I did not know these things. I did not, but I found out, and now we are going to act. This is priority one. This is priority one through eight. This is priority. We're going to deal with this effective right damn now. Okay, I'm cool then. Because you can't know everything. But she did know, and she tried to cover it up. People tried to cover it up. They tried to protect that monster. He would use his body and position it in a way, if you're listening at home and you have the little kids in the car, turn it off.
3, 2, 1.
He violated teenage girls with the parent in the room. And people knew about it. Let me tell you who else is brave, who else is courageous. Not just those women that one by one courageously stared that monster in the eye, but every one of their dads who has resisted the urge to walk into that place with a machine gun and put him away. If someone did that to Campbell or Caroline, you would have to come be my friend, and you would have to come prevent me from killing the guy. And I do mean killing him. You would have to come get me. You would be like, thank God he doesn't own guns.
Yeah, I've intentionally avoided a lot of specifics because I just don't want to handle it.
You know what, though? And I love you for that, but you don't need to do that. You need to read it. You need to go ahead and get...
No, I know.
You need to get really damn offended and then realize that what happened is that people at Michigan State covered up for that son of a bitch. The people at the U.S. Olympic Committee covered up for that son of a bitch. And the NCAA, the great Mark Emmert, as late as Tuesday of this week, I don't know enough to have an opinion. Shut the... Are you serious? Time for an overhaul, man.
How is the NCAA always just moving past it and have everything wash off their back?
Because they are an organization that is no longer viable. Time has passed them by. You should read it. I know you don't want to read it, and I respect the reasons you don't want to read it, but you should read it. Because without reading it, you can't properly... I know in your imagination,
you know
what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But without reading the details, you can't completely absorb just how much this monster victimized those people. Teenage girls. Little girls.
Well, yeah, you had... I mean, yesterday or day before, whatever day it was, in the sentencing, I mean, a judge that was pissed off to the point of...
admitting that she wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
That she wanted to do something that the law would not allow her to do, and so she would not violate the law.
So it was a pleasure to sign his death warrant.
Yeah, I am signing your death warrant. One woman after another, one young woman after another, stood there and recounted what happened to them. It's unfreaking 170-something people? How does that happen?
You and I had this conversation yesterday, too, just on the phone. We got to be careful here because it's a changing climate. We can't lose all investigative journalism.
No.
Can't lose reporting.
No, because without investigative journalism, I don't know that we are where we are today. And he might be victimizing someone else today.
You see where the guy from the Indy Star got a text about him while he was interviewing him? See that yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it was Greg Dole or somebody had tweeted out about it. Tim, somebody from the Indianapolis Star, was with Nassar when he got a text about some of the things he had done and, like, showed it to him or something during the interview and said that immediately Nassar just kind of dropped it and knew it was over right there. Like, it was just an immediate two-second thing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, I've followed it. I've listened to some of the testimony. I've listened to a lot of it. I've made myself listen to it, even when it was really uncomfortable. And it's a shame, really, that he gets to breathe some of the oxygen on our planet. Someone else could be breathing in perfectly good oxygen. He's a monster.
This doesn't really matter. I'm just curious. What's that program do now?
I don't know. It's a great question.
To try to...
How do you fix it?
Yeah.
How do you make it good? I don't know. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I mean, for lack of a better term, how do you clean it up?
I don't know.
How do you disinfect it?
I there's not enough bleach. I don't know. If you're the mom or dad of a young gymnast that's in that program today, how can you trust anyone? To answer your question, you completely clean house and start over with brand new people.
It's Baylor football.
Yes. But it took the NCAA, it took yesterday for the NCAA to go, oh, you know, I guess we ought to launch an investigation.
We sent a letter.
We've sent a letter. Oh boy, we've sent a letter. And the people that get on me and go, oh, you're just bitter about the Ole Miss thing. Holy, stop. The Ole Miss thing was ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous. Something like that shouldn't take 6 years. But you can't in one breath get worked up about guys like Barney Farrar. There was no – Barney Farrar has no victims in his wake. You can't get worked up about Barney Farrar in one breath and then completely disregard Nassar on the other. He has victims. He impacted lives. Barney did not ruin anyone's life. Hugh Freeze did not ruin anyone's life that wasn't – he didn't ruin anyone's life. The only lives that were truly impacted by Hugh Freeze, their last names are Freeze.
Yeah.
Chris Kiffin didn't hurt anybody. The NCAA is a complete...
No, the thing where people are actually hurt, it gets completely avoided. Baylor. Look, hey, Tennessee. Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, all that happened to Tennessee was some rape. That's all that happened.
Some cover-up. Some payments.
Just some cover-up of rapes. Paid some people to go away. Some non-disclosure agreements.
Yeah. Some lawyers made some cash.
It's insane. So when people get on me, like, why do you hate college? I don't hate college sports. But you can hate the NCAA and completely have no respect for the NCAA as an institution and still appreciate college athletics. And I'm there. I think the NCAA, as it is currently put together, the way that they legislate things, I think it's archaic. And I'm beginning to become justified in my opinion.
No good segue out of that. A couple things. Vince McMahon's going to announce a pro football league later today.
That'll
I see.
Work.
So that'll go well. He'll burn through some of that money. tomorrow, again, I want to talk about Freeze. I want to talk a thing I came across in an email or a newsletter yesterday. The NBA looking at legalizing gambling to the point of getting a cut out of it. So I want to talk about that a little bit tomorrow as well.
It's interesting.
Yeah, basically like a rake, almost like a casino would get. So we'll discuss some of that. I'll forward the thing to Neil later in the day, let him read it, and we'll go there.
It's kind of a cutting edge league on stuff like that. They're smart.
Well, they know, hey, it's going to happen. So how can we get in on this to try to, number one, monitor it. Number two, also get a cut of the pie. Let's not kid ourselves. So
kind of respect that.
Yeah, it does a little bit of everything there. So we'll discuss that tomorrow as well. We'll have Ryan Brown. We'll have Russell, I think.
Yeah, Russell tomorrow.
Russell tomorrow too?
Yeah.
Okay. So through that, you're going to get a soft verbal later today, probably by the time you finish this podcast at least. My guess on time of that going up is going to be 11:30, something like that. So we'll do that. We'll talk to those guys, and then we'll have plenty of coverage at RebelGrove.com. Again, baseball practice starting. Ole Miss, Texas, Saturday from Austin, 1 o'clock. One of the ESPN channels, that family of networks. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.